Paul Chambers and his quintet, a really good one too. That was Freddie Hubbard, we just heard on trumpet. Cannonball Adderley is on alto sax, Wynton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers, of course, is on bass, and Jimmy Cobb on drums. This is titled, I Heard That. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it seems as if the world had a secret meeting today and decided all hell should break loose today in the news department. And that's what has happened. Lots of stories are breaking, and we'll talk about some of them, but we'll get to our main story right after that. Okay, so what is going on? Well, we have the Biden and Trump debate happening later this evening, and we'll talk about that in Nashville, Tennessee. This is the second, it should have been the third debate, but of course Trump had his own special problems and canceled debate number two, so they're moving on to debate number three, which is the final debate that will be tonight in Nashville, Tennessee. But we also have, let's see, Democrats totally boycotting the committee vote today on Amy Coney Barrett. Her appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court, which was supposed to have advanced today out of the committee and then on to a general vote. But it didn't get out of committee the way it ought to have. All of the Democrats refused to vote. They weren't even in the chamber. Instead, they put pictures of people who they believed, who are said to depend on Obamacare. They put their portraits in their seats instead so that she could look at them. Of course, you know that she is said to be a virulent opponent of Obamacare, and that has already surfaced in the questioning of her. And it's getting pretty dicey. Very dicey, but she is equally determined not to be intimidated. She is going forward with this, however hard it gets for her. She's just moving forward. But the Democrats are absolutely dead set against appointing her to the seat that has become available because of the death of U.S. Supreme Court, the late U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She is supposed to be pegged to occupy that seat. Obama, as you know, has hit the campaign trail and he is cranking things up, taking swipes at President Trump and urging people to vote early and urging people to vote in copious numbers, because he says it is a most important election, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Just wanted to remind you that the Catholic Church has made a great stride yesterday. Pope Francis endorsed same-sex civil union. Now, that is quite a historic development in the Catholic Church, and no doubt there's a lot of rancor within the Catholic Church, but it seems that Pope Francis is going ahead with the times, and he is insisting that the Church has to recognize the needs of people who have been ostracized and left out and ridiculed and pilloried by the church itself because they're gay. So he came out yesterday with this idea, this formula, this entirely new position on same-sex marriages, but very careful about the language. They're not calling it same-sex marriages, they're calling it civil unions. If we have time today, we'll talk about it, but we certainly can get to that tomorrow too. And let's see what else I had made notes of. I made notes, but we can't talk about all of this today. I just highlighted the major ones that we might touch on during the course of our program today. So, what are we talking about today, programmatically? We're talking about, let me get my notes so that, when you start getting old, you have to have all these tricks up your sleeve to make sure that, you're on point. You know what you're doing. Well, wait a minute. Did I just see something? Did I just miss something here? No, I didn't miss anything. I didn't miss anything. I thought I did. See? Age creeping up on you. In my case, it's galloping. Well, Election Day, as you know, is Tuesday, November the 3rd, just 12 days away. And the air is thick with anticipation about the outcome, especially concerning the nation's top job. Of course, elections are also occurring for at other levels in the state and local levels for seats available there in these levels. But it is the presidential race that is the main focus of the race that's on right now and that will end on November the 3rd. Will Donald Trump get another 4-year term as president, or will voters decide that they've had enough of him and his administration and need a fresh start? How would you be able to tell that the right person is in the job of President of the United States? How are we ever to tell about that? What would be some of that person's most important qualifications and abilities, based on what you believe are your community's and the nation's needs in a leader at this time? Those are very serious questions that should be asked and should be pondered, because that is the crux of the matter. We have moved away from this idea that people have a role to play, except, just show up and vote. But other than that, we do not really concern ourselves with what the people are saying in terms of what they believe the office should be to the people. What should the office be? President of the United States. What should it do? How is it responding, or how should it be responding to the needs of the people? Is it doing that job very well? That's the crux of the matter. That begins to tell the story about whether a president is effective or not, whether a president is understanding his job. We do not have a woman president yet. Whether a president gets it about what being a president is. And with this current president that we have, I must say, I don't think it is even debatable that this president has brought this office down to a level no one had expected before, because they just couldn't believe that, this is the way a president behaves. There's no history of this kind of behavior. But we have one now, and he's vying for a second term. And he's using these last few days feverishly pursuing the votes of people who are as disaffected as he appears to be with the system. He wants to be president. In fact, he says he needs to be president because he knows what he's doing. And there are a lot of people who agree with him. There are a lot of people who want him back in office after November the 3rd. And so we'll talk about this today. What is it that tells us we've got the right person in the job? You know, President Obama has gone on a kind of tour trying to boost the fortunes of the Democratic Party, but no more so than in the office of the president. That is what he has been doing, stumping for Biden, and doing so by blazingly attacking Donald Trump and the deficiencies of his administration. This is to be expected. There will be people who will attack, but the attacks are getting more and more vitriolic, and the gloves are off. And it creates an environment. I don't know that we would be able to withstand this kind of environment too much longer, because it has a way of biting us back when we allow people to misbehave and show their worst sides. I'm not saying that that's what Obama is doing, but in the end, the tone should worry us all. This is not a good tone to have during an election or even outside of an election. We're supposed to behave differently. We're supposed to somehow respect the office. We shouldn't succumb to these kinds of vitriolic attacks, because it diminishes the office, the integrity of the office. And people should keep that in mind. Sure, you may score a point here and there, but in the end, you are contributing to bad behavior that reflects and detracts from the dignity of the office. And we should be careful not to do that. So let's hear what you are thinking. What is it that you consider to be the main qualifications of a leader, and especially a leader of this nation and at this time? What essentially are we looking for? What we don't say what we're looking for. We only know, or we voice what we object to. But what are you looking for? What is it that the people want? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what you have to say. What is it that people want in a president? And what is it that they expect from that office in particular? And how should it be regarded? Is what we are witnessing now anything close to what you imagined that people would be directing toward both the president and to the office? Have we missed the mark here seriously? Are we going to recoup from this state easily? Or has enough damage been done that we're now, we have sunk and we can't deny it? 888-874-4888. You know, I come from a small country. I talk about it all the time. I come from Trinidad. There are elections all the time, vigorous elections. People are out in the street, lots and lots of quarreling and tempers flaring and all of this kind of stuff. But in the end, there is a reverence, both for the person running to be, in Trinidad, is the prime minister, running for the top office, which is that of prime minister. And there's an expected way to behave, even in the midst, and perhaps especially in the midst of a grueling competition. There are certain things you just don't do, because it diminishes the person doing it, and it diminishes the office. Now, a lot is forgiven in the United States under the idea that it's free speech. But we don't seem to understand that with free speech, you can do a lot of damage. And some of that damage is easily repaired. You just have to say, I'm sorry I said this, or I'm sorry I did that. But some of the damage is more permanent. It is a kind of damage that Trump himself has done to his office by diminishing its respect, its hallowed place in American society. He has not personally comported himself in line with the understanding that he is the head of state. There's a way you're supposed to behave. Your whole team is supposed to behave. But we're seeing lots of things that are so objectionable. People cutting corners, people making deals, people breaking the law. And that includes the president. These things are not easily patched up so that people could move on and again begin to have faith in the office, respect for the office. It just doesn't work like that. But unfortunately, that's where it is. So is this going to continue? Is there going to be an effort to just, you know, plug this hole that's leaking very badly? The pride of the country, what the country stands for, what people believe the country stands for, is being dragged through the mud. And we have a president who doesn't care. As long as he wins at whatever it is he wants to win at, he doesn't care. He will tear up everything, destroy anything to get to where he wants to go. And we're supposed to be okay with that. And down the line, we have people emulating that behavior at the congressional level, at the even local city council level, mayoral candidates. They all have taken on this other personality that no one should recognize at all. It is so distasteful. It is so wrong. But that's where it is. So that it is all the more important in this next go-round that whoever becomes president does make a very strong effort to clean up this tragedy that we have suffered as a nation. People may say, you're making a big deal about nothing. Well, it's not nothing. It's quite a bit. Because the reputation, just like in life, your reputation precedes you. In some cases, your reputation is all you have in certain situations to get through. And right now, the reputation of the United States is in tatters, both outside of our borders and worse, within it. Jerry from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Trish. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
Good. What I like in a leader, you know, of course I disagree with you, but I feel that our country finally, after years of being looked down upon, is starting to look like America again. We stand up for ourselves. We're not going to be paying for the nation. We're a very generous country, but we're going to invest in our nation first. If you're going to talk about corruption, we could spend a day on the Bidens. I mean, all the stuff that's coming out now.
Okay, I take it you are a Trump supporter. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love it.
Okay.
Love him.
Well, this is
Love
the thing I want to ask you to
else.
Do.
Sure.
Don't use this program to proselytize. Don't do that.
Well, I'm not. You asking questions.
Well, you said, you know, the nation is coming back again, the nation is doing this and whatnot. Anybody could tell that this is your intention to sound the clarion call for Trump as a loyal Trump supporter. I'm not interested
that's not,
in that.
That's not my intention at all. This is a talk show.
Well,
that
it comes
you put
across
out
that way.
Okay,
and
but
I want to discourage
show,
that. I want you to have a discussion where you can see, do you see the horrendous mistakes and the acts of commission and omission made by Donald Trump during the course of this campaign?
I do agree with you in the sense that at the beginning, I too, you know, you look to a leader to act a certain way. I totally agree with you on that. I totally agree. And I'm a New Yorker, and I was like, oh, I don't know about that. Like, you know, the way he was acting. I totally agree with you, and I would love to go back to that different era where
it's not,
you know,
a different era. It's a different person. It is the same era as it relates to how a head of state comports him or herself. That hasn't
I
changed.
I get that. But what I'm saying is I also felt the same way. But I am looking beyond that because the proof is in the pudding. His record blows me away. I was even surprised about how much good he's done for this country. That you gotta go to the.
No. We're not talking about that. I'm not interested in his credentials as a candidate. I'm talking about his rotten behavior. I'm talking about the crimes committed in furtherance of quote winning unquote. I'm talking about a president who apparently listens to no one and does his own thing, breaks whatever laws need to be broken in order to get his way. We can't have that.
Well, then why would you proselytize your quote-unquote Democratic Party or Joe Biden? I mean, you have to. You're not fair in the sense of you want to reprimand
me. No. You want to fight.
Me.
I am not
I
fighting.
Fight
I don't like
you
to fight.
Don't want to, you just don't want to hear somebody else's point of view. And you don't want
but,
to.
But you're wrong. I don't want to have you. I'll tell you exactly what I don't want. I don't want you
funny.
To presume that I'm so dumb and the listeners are so dumb, we cannot detect that you are attempting to use your on-air time to promote a candidate. I'm not promoting any candidate.
I think there's a lot of projection
I am condemning the mm-hmm. conduct, the general across-the-board conduct, and the levels to which this country has sunk, and largely instigated, by the way, since you brought it up, by Donald Trump.
By the media.
No, you speak by the media. Don't blame the media.
He can react.
The media
4 years
simply
of being
is
attacked.
Reporting what is being observed. This president has been horrible in terms of his conduct, his personal conduct, and his professional conduct. Horrendous.
He might not be perfect, but I'd rather have somebody who I could take on face value as opposed to a lying Joe who does everything scheming and scamming like
all
the other politicians.
No, but there you go. There you go. I don't want that. So we'll have to end the conversation if you're going there about lying Joe and sleepy so-and-so. I'm not interested in that.
You can't insult
that
to the president.
That is a conversation for people with limited intellectual capacity.
There we go with the personal
okay,
insults
if you,
again.
If you want to continue, you will have to find a different venue. But I am not continuing this conversation. I'm asking a very serious question that is easily discussed if people are prepared to be very much independent in their thinking. You could love somebody a lot, but still see their faults. And there are many that Donald Trump has. And he's been told about it time and time again. And he has taken the country down the wrong path because of it. And we will suffer the consequences of it, as we already are.
Totally disagree, but that's okay. You can keep on personally attacking me. That's what you do every time I don't agree with you.
Oh, I don't. No. I'm not going to allow you to do that.
You've done it before. Last time you said I was.
I'm not going to allow you to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm saying what I have to say very clearly.
Uh-huh.
People who have been listening to this program know that I have no problem taking a direct line against the wrongs that are being done. I have no problem with that. But this is not a program. This program is not dedicated to any candidate or to any followers of any candidate who want to use in the fashion that they do, which is very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You want to praise Donald Trump, buy yourself an ad in a newspaper or buy airtime and go at it, but not here.
But how do you pose
this
a question
the people's,
to somebody and
this
they can't
is the
express
people's
themselves.
Forum, not yours. We're not interested in your praise and your adulation of any candidate.
You are so hypocritical. You just said it's the people's forum, but if
goodbye.
They don't agree with you,
goodbye,
they're not
goodbye.
Allowed on.
I'm hypocritical. You don't know me. You have to know me to know whether I'm hypocritical or not. And I'm absolutely sure you don't know me because I do not know you either.
Then you tacked me a number.
888-874-4888 is the number to call. Jesus from Jacksonville, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going? I wanted to comment on perhaps something that the person you were just talking to on the phone, I hope she's still on. I hope she can listen to this.
No, she's on.
And I hope that other conservative listeners and viewers that might be listening could hear this. But Rudy Giuliani turned in a laptop to the FBI, which he claims has child pornography on it. He commented that to the Washington Examiner, but his source, John Paul Mac Isaac, who had an interview on the Daily Beast, which the Daily Beast released the interview on SoundCloud, said that there was no child pornography on the laptop. And the FBI, when they examined the laptop in 2019, also said there was no child pornography on the laptop. So my question is, why does Rudy Giuliani, the president's lawyer, have child pornography? And that's really what the story is about that the New York Post doesn't want to talk about, that Rudy Giuliani has access to child pornography and that he's trying to frame Hunter Biden for having child pornography. He went on the Washington Examiner talking about having child pornography on the laptop, which his source said it didn't have, and the FBI said it didn't have, and now the laptop has child pornography in it. Where did Rudy Giuliani get this child pornography from?
Well, you see, this is what I'm talking about. We're supposed to be discussing issues of national importance. And this is the level at which the president and his personal lawyer are operating at. And lying on top of that, saying they have the evidence, they have the proof, they have the hard drive. Okay, you have the evidence to prove the hard drive, but you have nothing. You know, this is what I mean. And Giuliani is no ordinary, schmo. Giuliani was a federal prosecutor. Giuliani put a whole bunch of people in jail when he was a federal prosecutor. He knows the law. So it's not like this is something completely new to him. He ought to know what constitutes a crime or what does not constitute a crime. Lying is a crime. Both he and Trump have lied and said they have information against Biden's son. This is just ridiculous. And this is what now is consuming the attention of the country. When people want to know about the coronavirus, what about the funds that would help rebuild communities and people's lives? These are the things that we are struggling with. And this is the garbage that they're doing. You see, if the world were run right, Giuliani would be under a jail right now, and his cellmate would be Donald Trump for concocting such a really horrendous story. Is this where we have to go in order to pursue a political career? Is this what has to happen for somebody to win a race? You destroy somebody's life and put out all kinds of lies about them, and you make it a campaign adopted by the QAnon people and others. What is this? Where did these people come from? Where does this mentality come from? And why should we even honor it? We should be up in arms insisting Giuliani needs to go to jail. He needs to be put on trial. He has made very bad and false statements that injured people's characters. He has lied just like Trump. And he is Trump's supposed personal lawyer, the former mayor of the city of New York. He put all that in service of this demonic agenda that he has. And you can't just walk away from this. This deserves a special prosecution, a big time one. You're right about the fact that even the FBI is saying, but Giuliani knew that quite a while ago. There was nothing there. He knew that. So, what do you recommend? How does this get fixed?
Well, I think that, am I still on the air? I wasn't
Yes,
sure of you.
you are.
Well, I mean,
Yes, you are.
if I could be, pretty authentic here, I think, and this is just because I live in Jacksonville, Florida, I kind of think the conservative radio is doing a much better job at marketing their side than liberals are at marketing theirs. And I mean ours when I say that, is that we seem to be very fractured. If you look at the Joe Biden coalition, it's pretty fractured in terms of solidarity. Trump's phenomenon is because everyone's on the same team. They operate from the top down. So whatever he says is what they say, and they have confidence in their leadership. And I think the problem is that we operate often from the ground up, which is just the way it's supposed to be. But there are institutions in place to keep us from getting the candidates that we want. And that's how you see, for example, there seems to be some timidness from Joe Biden and, Kamala Harris to try to really appeal to the liberal base and our values, because the conservatives have done such a good job at making them afraid of us and our progressive tax policies and spending money on infrastructure and building this country and, having a tax system that actually works towards paying off of our bills. We have a this massive deficit and we're accruing all this debt and our military is dwindling. And then here comes this guy and he does a tax cut with nothing to make up for the money. We're printing more money to keep up with the debt. And nobody is, you know, no one stands up for liberal values. No one embraces us. It's like we're this thing to be afraid of when we, our culture, our ideology has done the best things in the world. We invented syllogistic thinking. We're the people that came out of the Enlightenment period. We're the philosophy, the ideology of Abraham Lincoln. You know, they call him a radical liberal for saying.
We also, if you don't mind, we also have a long list of sins to account for. With all the liberal ideals, we have had many low-life moments. And speaking of low-life, I think that's how the candidates are reacting. They see that the Trump campaign is self-destructing. And all they have to do is to just stand by. They don't have to do anything. They have witnessed an anomaly here in which the people who are doing the attacking are so vulnerable to attack themselves on a whole bunch of points. Now, Trump cannot raise the issue of sexual misconduct. How dare he raise that issue? This is a guy who has been charged several times with sexual misconduct, sexual assault. No, they're giving them all the rope they want because they're destroying themselves by their behavior. If
really
they were smart.
I don't get that vibe here in, you know, the Southeast. I'm in Jacksonville, so I don't get that vibe. And maybe in other parts of the country, you guys are experiencing it. I mean, I see a lot of solidarity on the right that we just haven't made up, and maybe that's a good thing. Maybe too much solidarity is a bad thing. I think you made a good point.
It's a very good thing. This is what you need. This is what the Democrats should be concentrating on from the very beginning. You build solidarity, but the Democrats themselves have strayed far from their base. And using all these other things as attention getters, thinking that this would help solidify the base. No, the base is solidified by what you do, what you produce. Let these guys do whatever they want to do because it is perfect. They're self-destructing. They're giving a really nasty impression of what the White House is, what the Trump administration is about. They're doing their job. They'll still have people supporting them. But if I were advising the Biden campaign, let them continue. They're doing a fantastic job. Concentrate on the issues that are really bread and butter issues to people every single day. Just deal with that. That's enough. That's enough to handle.
Politico just wrote an article saying that the Trump administration or the Trump campaign is going to bring this New York Post thing to the debate at some point. And I did hear a conservative radio host, I forget which one, saying that this needed to be done. So, I mean, the reason I talk about this is I feel like their base, you know, is a lot more, you know, has a stronger magnetic pull than our base, because our base requires more responsibility, requires people to actually put into the system, where their system is basically, you know, ignorance is bliss, you know, take whatever you can make, you know, it doesn't matter what, who it hurts or what it does. And, you know, that's a much easier product to sell. Let's be responsible about this.
From the very beginning, they went for the lowest common denominator. And everything but the kitchen sink is in there. They then get saddled with having to babysit all these issues and manage them, manage the craziness, because each of these issues spawns other crazy issues, and they can't manage all of those. So let them keep going down that road. That's a self-destructive road. Manage what is important, which is what people say they need, what they're looking to the government to do, and whether you are producing what it is they need. That is the only thing you need to do. About sex and children and all of that stuff, that's the world they live in. Let them continue to live in it. It will destroy them utterly. Just let them continue. It has already destroyed Rudy Giuliani. Nobody takes this guy seriously anymore. Nobody thinks of him as important.
I think you're absolutely right. If Joe Biden wins, which I already voted for him, if he wins, you're absolutely right. This is going to be the biggest blowback on the Republican Party in history. But my question is now: if they win, will you still feel what you're saying? Would you still agree with your statements right now?
I would stand by the statements because they're valid. What I'm saying is valid, whether they win or not. From the very beginning, you deal with substantive issues. You don't get sidelined by the muck and the mire that these people and the swill that they're accustomed to living in. That's their world. If you look at their private lives, what a story you could tell. And you can see how confluent their private lives are with their public lives. It's the same thing. It's no wonder that this administration sank to the bottom in no time. It didn't take a long time for that to happen. But if you stand on principle and you concentrate on the issues that are important to people, people could say whatever they want. Let them say whatever they want. You just keep your eyes fixed on the prize and you keep moving. That's my advice to any situation like this. Forget about these people. That's their world. They are accustomed to living in the muck and the mire and the swill. They like that. And that is how they have lived their personal lives and their professional lives. Rudy Giuliani is no saint, I can tell you that. If somebody were to open the book on him, he would have no future. All you have to do is just mind your business and stay the course and try to be as ethical as you possibly can and move ahead with the people's interests in mind. Thanks, Jesus, for your call today.
Okay, thank you.
I'm glad you called in. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. How are you doing?
Okay, Ed. How's by you today?
I'm here. We're not too bad, not too bad, me and my thumbs. I must admire your ability to stay focused, and you suffer fools very well. I must commend you on that. It's something I need to learn how to do. That you have the tolerance of a saint, especially when you're confronted by certain individuals on this show. Back to the question that
you better talk to people. It's a talk show.
I understand. But sometimes people need to think before they speak, or need to review their thoughts. There's nothing wrong with being silent if you have nothing pertinent to say. Be that as it may, bringing back to your question, what I want in a leader is someone with vision, with the capacity to be open to ideas, with the ability to have a moral center, something that is basically lacking and has been lacking in this country's leadership, politically speaking, for what I believe to be the past 40 years. Someone that has a clear idea of what the future, what needs to be done for the future, as far as pertaining to the economy, as far as pertaining to the social values, as far as pertaining to the environment. Someone who can execute the executive branch the way it's supposed to be executed. We have three branches of government: judicial, legislative, and executive. And the executive is supposed to enforce the desires of the people and through the legislation and through the mechanisms of that office. And all of our leaders have really failed to do that. Even Obama has failed, in my opinion, speaking as an African-American, to do that. We need someone with vision. We need someone with the ability to change and the ability to lead this country forward in that change.
And who, in your opinion, exemplifies the qualities that you're talking about as being important in a leader?
I mean, from the past, like I've always said, the best president in my lifetime, and this has been Jimmy Carter. All his faults aside, I believe he executed the executive office to the best of his ability and tried to implement certain policies and procedures that were taken away by the Republicans with the Reagan Democrats and all that. But in my opinion, during my lifetime, he is one of the best presidents that has been in this country's past history, recent history.
What are the chances that we could see a Jimmy Carter again?
I don't see it. I mean, I really don't see it. I mean, based on...
That was fast.
I just don't... all kidding aside, I don't see it. I mean, the bar has been brought down so low in this country to even just common discourse between people. You can't even have an intelligent conversation about anything without it debasing to emotions and likes and dislikes. I mean, even years ago, I don't know if you remember the show Crossfire. It used to come on PBS, Channel 13 in New York. Yeah. And, you know, they had like William F. Buckley. They had, Adam Clayton Powers on it. But I mean, no matter whether you like a person or not, if you're presenting a cogent view with facts and figures and in a logical presentation, I can't disagree with you. Personality aside, there's been people in my life that I have personally, I don't like, but they had good ideas or they had good viewpoints. Personally, I don't like you. You know, I don't like your demeanor. I don't like the way you are, but you got a point. Now we can't even get to that point. We can't get past the personality to get to the meat, to get to the facts. We don't have that ability to ascertain anymore. It's sad. And until you get that ability to really open up and to see something from all sides, you're always going to be lost because you're going to be reacting on emotion like a child. And that's what we have. We have a bunch of children. They act totally on emotion. They don't act on form. They're empty suits.
Well, I'm inclined to just end the program right now because you've given us the word. That is the word. That is exactly our dilemma. We could do just about anything and deal with whatever the obstacles are and so forth. We could do that. But we have sunk to a level where the vast amount of energy first is to get people into a healthy frame of mind, get them to understand how to deal with each other and to see what the issues are, how you communicate with each other. This president is, I mean, everywhere he goes, he causes people to move away from him with disdain, because his attitude stinks.
Yeah, but my point is this: he couldn't exist in a world where that wasn't tolerated. He couldn't exist. He could, years ago, he never would have even tried to run for dog catcher, let alone the commander in chief. And they wouldn't have been accepted. It wouldn't have been tolerated. He would have been laughed out of the arena. He wouldn't have been taken seriously. That is the crux of the problem with this country. Our standards have dropped so low to a point to where we'll accept anything. You know, you could vote for a turkey. Well, I mean, what? You could vote for a dog. I mean, you accept anything because you accept this man. This man was a joke, a walking joke, a bad joke with a lousy punchline. And he's running the country. Come on. In a world 30, 40 years ago, he wouldn't have even been taken seriously. But we've de-evolved. We've de-evolved. And we got to evolve if we want to get anything out of this.
That's for sure. And there are people who don't understand that. They don't understand a fundamental problem here is that a large percentage of the electorate is privately nursing these grievances. They don't like the way he's behaving. They don't like the way he has behaved and been allowed to behave. They don't like the fact that he's so cavalier about things that people paid with their lives for. Now, he has no sense of appropriate conduct. It's very disconcerting to a lot of people.
What I'm saying is that we don't enforce. I'll give you a perfect example. When I was younger, growing up in New York City, there were certain neighborhoods that you knew you couldn't go do certain things in. You wouldn't even attempt it because the neighborhood would stop you from doing it. They would say, listen, what are you doing? This is Springfield Gardens. This is Rosedale. This is Long. We don't do that. Get out of here. You know, the guys wouldn't even put out their cigarettes if they saw a pregnant woman coming. No matter how stupid they were, they knew that this was not going to be tolerated. He wouldn't be able to do that if we had our own moral standard. He wouldn't attempt it because he would be too embarrassed and feel too threatened to attempt it. And that's what I'm saying. That's what this country has lost. The ability to shame a fool.
Well, Reverend Ed, you said it again today. We have received your message, and I thank you so much for it. Thanks a lot for calling in. Duke from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Okay, how are you, Trees? How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Well, I was fine until that first call. I was going to try to wait and call tomorrow on Free Your Mind Friday, but Jerry got me so upset. Let me just say this in terms of your question, what do I look for in a leader or a president?
What do you look for? You're gone.
What I look for in a leader is not necessarily the same thing that I look for in a president. Like, I kind of came into the world around the time of LBJ. And as a little kid, you know, I didn't really know, but there was something about that figure, Lyndon Baines Johnson. There was something about him that I liked, that I was drawn to. I didn't know nothing about politics. I was a little kid. But it was something about his energy that maybe made me feel safe, or I don't know what it was. Now, if you look at every president after that, other than Carter, I didn't like any of them. Politically, I didn't like Barack Obama. But I could tolerate him because he represented something that was, I guess I would say, safe. But what I want to say to Jerry is what she doesn't realize is this individual right now, Trump, the level of hatred that's in the country right now, and primarily racial hatred, but it's not even racial hatred, it's just anger. That's all because of this man that you support, Donald Trump. And the thing is, I don't think that he's a racist. I think he's just a typical prejudiced person, like many of us are. I don't think Donald Trump is a racist. Well, what she doesn't realize is we remember this man when he took out the ad in the paper saying that the Central Park Five should be killed. He never apologized for that.
Yes. Yes.
He never apologized for that after it was proven that they had nothing to do with it. In the beginning of this campaign, he called every Mexican, every illegal immigrant a racist and a drug dealer, and I mean a rapist and drug dealers, and they're the worst of the worst. I just watched him on TV last night saying how great the Latin community is. Because now he wants, he thinks he's getting
support. Because he wants them now. He wants and needs them now.
Exactly. But
even though, and here's the other side of it, I just want to interject this because it's important. The community is great, even though more than 500 children, they have no contact with their parents. They took them at the border.
That's right. That's right. I mean, and she refuses to understand that there are some things about Trump I like. What I like about him is that he's like a bull in a china shop. He just comes in and he's just disrupting the political system in America. And I like that because this system sucks. I'm sorry to say that on your show. The system needs to be torn down.
It is not enough to act like a bull in a china shop. Anybody could do that. You don't need a brain to do that. You just need some muscles.
But the main point to Jerry is, Jerry, you have to see that the level of hatred is so high in this country right now. I don't know how you could ever support that. And Utrice, if she calls again, let her say her piece. Because we got to hear what these people
think.
But I
did let her say her piece. Here's the thing, and it relates to the subject, believe it or not, that we're talking about. I will not be disrespected. You don't shout at me, you don't raise your voice at me, and you don't hurl accusations at me. I will never tolerate that.
I understand that. You're
alrighty.
Right. We know this is your show, and you're at the head of the room. And I respect that 100%.
Look, I was raised in a family; everybody had their own opinion. It was always a big discussion, a big argument going on. But we knew how to behave. We have to understand that is the basic rule. Thanks so much for listening. Let's join each other again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We will see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thanks so much.